This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/stringchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/stringchicks. masterclass.com/stringchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. And we're back with Shrink Chicks.
Back with Shrink Chicks.
Before we started, we literally were just like, we need to get a new intro. And then we just did the same thing because we got nervous.
We just don't know how to start the episodes. I feel like we talk about this all the time.
Maybe somebody could write in and tell us how they think we should start.
I think
it.
We just have to have a day where we practice with each other. Don't you think maybe we'll have a glass of wine and just like practice just intros? Doesn't that sound like a sick day?
That sounds super fun.
It's like the
most
fun.
Sounds like we have a lot of time.
Emily, hold on. I'm sorry. Emily just told me we have to buy a $100 clock, like a big clock, so we can figure out when how long the episode.
Okay.
I was like, buys a $100 clock?
Definitely not you.
Definitely not me.
Who would? Like, someone who owns a gym, probably.
Right.
But like, a hotel, maybe.
A hotel.
A hotel gym. One of those two things together.
A hotel. But you only have this amount of time to be at this hotel.
But if you find yourself being a perfectionist at everything you do, maybe you were parentified growing up.
Incredible. Great segue.
So let's talk about parentification.
Today we're talking about parentification.
So parentification, I feel like you maybe hear this word and you're like, I kind of get what that is, right?
Or I've heard it on our podcast and you're like, what's that?
Right. Okay. So parentification is basically you were given either responsibilities, actual tangible responsibilities like taking care of your siblings or parents,
or cooking food, yes, maybe,
or emotional responsibilities like providing emotional support to other people in your life at too young of an age. So you were introduced to these very adult-like things. So maybe you knew too much about what was happening in your family's financial situation or in their love life.
Right.
Or sex
in their
life.
Relationship. The term parentification kind of describes it exactly, is that you're expected to be a parent or you're expected to be an adult before you're ready.
So sometimes we'll ask clients, what age did you stop being a child? Mm. And often people say 9, 10, 11 years old, that I felt like I really all of a sudden was introduced to a ton of adult things. Hey, and this can happen especially if there is some type of unique atypical circumstance. Let's say you have a parent that got sick at an early age and all of a sudden you had to pick up more responsibility for your siblings. Or there was a death at an early age, right? Like anything is a really difficult divorce. Anything can lead on. Another one is adult children of alcoholics,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
If you had alcoholic parents, maybe you are responsible for making sure that they were sober to pick you up at school. Or maybe you were responsible to make sure that they were on their side at night.
Or you basically learned that in order to survive or in order to like emotionally thrive as a child, and children are very resilient. Like they learn ways to survive when they don't necessarily feel like they have that safety in their relationship with their parent. So
absolutely,
you might have learned very specific ways to survive and thrive in order to take care of yourself or take care of siblings or people in your life.
So maybe you got amazing at time management. Or maybe you became incredibly organized so you could keep going with all these roles of being a student, of going to sports, of doing all this stuff, right?
Or maybe you learn to shove your emotions just deep down inside because you had to take care of other people's emotions, or you saw. And I think another example is like if you have a sibling that needed a lot of extra support, right? Like that would be a really good example. If you
they had disability,
right,
or they had some, you know, mental health stuff they were dealing with themselves,
right? And you could recognize, okay, my parents have a lot on their plate, and so I'm going to make sure that I'm the good child, or I'm going to make sure that I take care of myself so I'm not putting any extra stress. That's another way. And a lot of this happens indirectly too, right? Like it's not like our parents are attempting to parentify us. Sometimes that happens if they haven't done their own emotional work. But I think it so often happens with difficult life circumstances.
So as we'd say, that's kind of the way the cookie crumbles, right? That's what set the dynamic. And there's some reasons of why this could start to be maybe problematic in adulthood.
Oh, yeah. Well, first let me ask, when do you feel like you stopped being a child?
Wow.
I know.
You know what? Jen knows I have been like redoing a therapy journey for myself recently. Like, so in the past 6 months, I started with a new therapist and I was deep diving into some family stuff I had going on that also got brought up from my dad going through and almost dying from COVID. And so there's like a lot, I've been doing a lot more work. So I probably a year ago would have answered that saying like maybe, I don't know, 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's
getting younger.
It's getting younger. It's getting younger. Now, I was also someone who hit puberty very young and was treated, always looked much older than
wow.
they were.
So well, that is another thing mm-hmm. to mention.
So I think I was always treated much, much
older
yeah.
than you were because
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, I do.
Wow, that makes sense.
Right. Okay, like how old were you the first time you got catcalled?
Like last year. Might have been last year.
You have a different body type, right? So, like that's, like, a really, like, serious thing. Like, I had boobs at, like, 10 years
old.
Oh, yeah,
I had boobs at, like, 20. Still looking for them.
But, like, right? So, like, it's just different, right? So, I had this different body type. I think I was treated much older.
Yeah.
I think I also came off much older and mature. I also, like, really liked adults to like me. One, in general, because I was a people pleaser, but I also, like, really wanted adult attention.
Were you the kid in class that was, like, a teacher's pet?
I wasn't a teacher's pet. I wanted to, like, be their friend. Like, I wasn't, like, sucking up to them. I was, like, want to hang out. Like, I, like, thought, like...
They wanted to hang out.
I thought they were,
you.
Like, peers, maybe. Like, I feel like I had inappropriate boundaries with adults.
Like, you were, like, going to, like, hanging out with the teacher instead of the kids.
Yeah, sometimes. Like, I think that was, like, a thing that happens.
I might have mentioned this. I would, like, laugh at any teacher's joke, like, so loud because I wanted them to feel.
Like you.
Yeah, and I wanted them to feel good about themselves.
Yes.
Like, I felt responsible for taking care of their emotions as a teacher.
Yeah. Well, it's like that meme that's, like, any person who was a pleasure to have in class has an anxiety disorder now.
100%.
Right, and I actually think that's true.
100%.
I actually think that's probably
it's
accurate,
definitely
right?
True.
So, like, okay, wait. So, same question. How old were you?
Okay. I always had this feeling that I was an adult stuck in a child's body.
Yeah. Like, I believe that 150%.
Yeah. Like, I really – and I felt like I had to, like, pretend like I was
like
a kid.
Grandma.
Like a grandma stuck in a child's body.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I almost felt like I'm telling you, really, really young. And I did not hit puberty early. Like, I was treated like a child.
Yes.
And I mean, and by treated like a child, like, I wasn't given, like, a voice at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was really
so
hard.
Were you infantilized as opposed to parentified?
Well, I think that there was no, like, recognition. I know I've talked about this, mm-hmm. of, like, my emotions or my thoughts. It's like, oh, you're just a child.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I always felt like I was an adult and that no one would hear me. So that's how I learned to shut down from a very early age.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's funny, right? So, like, so we just talk about, like, so there's parentification and infantilization. Like, were you always treated like a child?
Mm.
Was everyone always, like, gentle with you and sensitive towards you? They weren't really to you.
I know. It's
so
confusing.
Like,
it's
really
a conundrum.
Yes.
I'm still on my therapy journey, too.
Yes.
I'll let you know what happens.
Yeah. Well,
stay tuned.
We'll be dead by the time it comes out. That's how long we'll be in therapy.
It'll be
for.
A lot.
So when you have this parentification, though, it can really start to come out in other ways. For me, it's control.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I love when you turn things into
songs. And over-functioning.
Right.
Right? Like, you can see it in me. How about this week? Do you want to talk about this week for me?
Oh, please talk about this week for you.
I just don't, like, if I go through a thing where, like, when I get stressed, and, like, my friends can tell, right? Like, whenever I start, like I have, like, a million things that week, like, things that, like, people would celebrate, too, right? Like, interviews and podcasts and, like, different stuff that everyone's like, wow, like, look how good. I'm like, no, this is a trauma response. This is, like, let's not celebrate this
100%.
Year, right? Like, and my friends will be like, you okay? You've been real busy. And I'm like, yeah.
Like, yeah, no.
It's, like, not okay, right? So, like, because that's the mode that I go into, is I just stay super busy. And the other way I can really, really, really see it in my relationship is, like, gatekeeping, like, with motherhood.
Mm.
Like, that I struggle because I feel like I was parentified in a lot of ways. It has been very difficult to parent with someone else.
I was going to ask, like, what are there any ways that you're worried about parentifying Millie?
It's hard. So right now, Millie's an only child.
Right.
So often, only children are more parentified simply right. because they're just around more adults and less kids.
And there's yeah. like an expectation of like, oh, like fit in with us.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
fit with our lifestyle.
So there's certain things, right? So for only children, a lot of times are treated in a different way.
Right.
Like that. So yes. Do I get worried about it? Here's the thing that my therapist always says to me that I have to remind myself, which is that like, she'll end up being fine. Like, she'll end up being a badass. Like, you do as much as 100%. You can, but you can't, like, prevent every single thing that happens. If I don't end up having another child, that wasn't from lacking of trying.
Right.
It's just that it didn't happen for us.
Right.
So you only do what you can do. But one of the things that I know that happens is, like, is for sure gatekeeping in parenthood. Mm. Like, I really felt like I just knew it so much better than my husband. Like, I just had the maternal instinct, and I knew what I was doing. And
is that true?
Well, I also babysat my whole life, right? Because there's also a part yes. of, like, often for – you did not babysit.
Actually,
did you?
I am in so much pain even thinking about this.
Oh, my gosh. Did you babysit at one point?
I did. Well, it's like when you're
– I find that hard to believe.
I know. It was. I don't know why anyone –
those kids okay?
I don't know why anyone trusted me with their child. There was this one time I was –
No, I would trust you. I just don't know why you would ever say yes to it.
Money?
I guess that's true. Pay for that $100 clock.
But exactly. I got to pay for this clock. Got to pay for my wife. She wants a clock. She wants a $100 clock. I got to babysit. No, but there was this one time I babysat and there were like dogs and the kid had this like ball and was just like, and the dog was scary and they're just waving the ball around and the dog was like jumping at it. And I was just sitting there like, I don't know what to do. Like, I hope nothing bad happens.
So just total, you just lean back and see what happens.
I was just like, I hope this works out. It did.
The kid's fine. I mean, they're dogs, right?
And the kid's alive.
Wait, should we check and see how they
maybe,
are emotionally?
Maybe. Yes.
But here's the thing. Okay, see what Jen just did? Oh, my God. That's such a great intro, right?
Great. You're welcome.
That's what parents will say, right? Well, you didn't get hurt.
Right.
Right? That's the number one thing parents will say. When you go back and say, hey, right, like you really treated me like a
you're alive up,
or I knew all this stuff. Like sometimes I'll ask people like in session, like, so like what did you know about your family's financial situation? And people could sit there and tell you everything or nothing.
Or if in session a client is telling you about their story, right? If you say, when did you find all of this out?
Mm-hmm.
Right? A lot of clients will say, like, oh, I knew while it was happening. Like I knew what was happening. And then we go into like, well, how did you process that? Like, who did you talk to about that? How did you deal with that? And
they say nothing.
They say I had no yeah. one to talk to, or I had no yeah. one to, you know, process through that with. And I think that that's another part of it. Like, once again, the emotional pieces of I had to deal with that myself because mm-hmm. my parents were going through so much.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I had to hold that in. There was no one I could turn to. And that's a part of parentification is feeling like we have to, as children, deal with our emotions on our own. Like, we don't have yes. anyone we can turn to. It doesn't necessarily feel safe because of what's going on in their relationship or what's going on around them, the stresses that they're dealing with. And so I think that in adulthood, as adults, we can think about, okay, wait, was I parentified? Because I think that we think about parentification and these very extreme ways, right? Like my parents neglected me, or like,
yeah,
they,
it, well, this binary way, it was right. all good, it was all bad,
right?
And the reality is like, that's never true,
right.
It's never 100% of one thing or the other. But I think especially when we're first starting this work, it feels very much like that.
Absolutely.
Right?
I have to say, Em, that headband is so cute on you.
Well, you know where I get it from, where I get all of my hair accessories from.
Duedit.
My favorite place on earth. And, okay, anytime I feel like you're wearing flats or a headband, you get the same question, right? What is it?
Is it comfortable?
Because,
are they comfortable?
Yes, because historically, flats and headbands have not been
right. Headbands can be really painful.
So, spoiler alert, it's amazing. It's curved perfectly. It's super lightweight. I'm obsessed with the colors that she puts out. But the thing is about the Duedit, you have to like buy fast because they sell out of every
so
design.
So quickly. Okay, but here's the thing. I have a weird head shape.
Okay,
it's like
try
very
it on.
Tiny.
Come try it on.
Okay. How's it look?
Okay, you're adorable, dude. It's perfect.
And it actually fits very nicely,
yeah,
even though my head
wonderful.
Is very, very tiny, like absurdly small.
So there you go.
Say goodbye to bad hair days with Dew. Spice up your daily wardrobe with a fun, scrunchier hair accessory. Use one-time code SHRINKCHICKS for 15% off your first purchase with them at DewEdit.com. And please do yourself a favor and subscribe to their newsletter. All newsletter subscribers get early access and front-of-the-line priority with exclusive access to shop all of their drops first. Do it.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
I think it's hard to admit that your parents are imperfect people. I think, and by imperfect
really?
People, I
mean, I feel like some people go straight to destroy their parents.
I think it's one or the other. Like, don't you think that there's some people who keep themselves from like even touching those pieces, and they're just like, oh no, everything was great.
It was fine, right? Well, and you know, right? Because those are the clients that come in the first session and they're like, well, I don't really want to talk about my childhood.
My childhood was fine.
It has nothing to do with this. And you're like,
well, we're always skeptical, right?
Because
there's always something. Your parents are imperfect.
Well, and there's also a story you've told yourself about your life. And that story is that my parents were never there for me, or my parents were always there for me, right? So like the story we continuously telling ourselves, it makes an impact, because that everything can turn into confirmation bias around that. If no one was ever there for me in my childhood, I maybe could possibly automatically assume that no one's going to be there for me in adulthood.
Right.
And if no one's going to be there for me in adulthood, well, then why would I let anyone in? Mm. Why would I open up to my partner? Why would I be vulnerable? Why wouldn't I take on all of the parenting duties? So it's also when we put someone in a catch-22 where I am begging for someone to show up for me, but I don't actually allow myself to be taken care of in any way.
You protect yourself.
I need to.
Right. Because, yes. Because if the narrative is no one else is going to take care of me, no one else is going to protect me, I'm the only one who can do this, it's hard to let people in.
Absolutely. Especially when it feels like survival, right? So like when it feels like, well, if I don't do this, who's going to? I have to work a million hours this week because my partner may not. My partner can't maintain it. Okay, what stop looking at me like that.
I was just going to say, what am I going to say to you? That I have to work a million hours this week. And that has nothing to do with Aaron, of course. But it's just like that.
And right... But it's this thing about, it's like control, right? Because that's one thing
I think we both have this issue.
We both. But it's from different reasons.
100%.
Mine is more of the control parentification.
Right.
What's yours?
Mine is, I am the only one who can do this. Like, I have to take all of this on myself.
Because what will happen if you don't? What's the fear?
I think I just assume that no one else can do it. Like, no one else can do it for me.
Is that ego?
It could be ego, but I also think it was, you know, not feeling like I could rely on anyone else.
Yeah.
And not that, you know, I think maybe emotionally or just in general, like I very much learned to keep my emotions internal because there wasn't space to be able to express them externally. And so I think that, you know, I learned whether it's with that. And I also think feeling like an adult in a child's body, I was like, I have to put on this persona.
Yes. Okay.
And so... But I think both of us very much have that in different ways.
I agree.
But I think it's helped our business a lot.
Well, it's this funny thing, right? Because so we started this business 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And we DIY'd everything.
Everything.
The website, the branding, the wording, the brochures.
When we say we literally feel like no one else can do it, we didn't let anyone help us.
We
it
also isn't had no money, though.
Right.
So, like, that part wasn't control. We had
that's
no
fair.
Money.
That's fair,
we
yeah.
We never took out loans to do this because we were too scared to do it. We were young. You know what I mean? Like, there was a part where it was like, here's the issue, though, right? So, at the beginning, it wasn't problematic. We did what we could with what we had.
Right.
The shift was when we had the finances
and
to get help and didn't.
And now the shift is happening where we buy $100 socks. The shift is happening too far. And we got to shift it back. We got to tone it down.
We still buy nothing.
Fair.
We still literally buy nothing.
Okay. We're going to turn into a financial episode.
It's going to turn into a financial episode of our own relationship. But so the shift, right? So when that shift happens, it goes from what is doing the most with what you have versus what is over control. How do you start to look at that for yourself, right? This is a big thing we talk about in parenthood. When you, at the beginning, obviously my husband can't nurse the baby, right? So I'm going to breastfeed the baby.
Right.
But why am I not then giving her up for him to then burp her and change her next?
Another way, I'm going to pull it down this way. Another way it can show up is if you were parentified as a child, and whether you were taking care of siblings or you were taking care of a lot, you might be burnt out as an adult.
And have no interest in parenting. I've already parented everyone in my life.
Yeah, I'm done.
Right? I have already parented everyone. I've been doing this forever.
Right. You're like, I am not going to do this anymore. I'm going to. And also now you have control over it. Right. Like you can make the choice to say, I'm not going to parent anyone else. right? Because I'm burnout at this point.
But that's not problematic.
No.
That's like a great decision for yourself to sit here and say, you want to know what? I always followed the rules. I did what I had to do to survive as a child. And this is the choice I'm making for adulthood to give myself the life I never got to do, right? Because the cool thing about that and the cool thing about starting to identify this is not like, well, fuck, now I just hate my parents and what am I supposed to do? Right. The cool part is you can take action. You can do something different, right?
And that's the point. I mean, the point of therapy and our podcast and learning about your mental health in general is to take things from being more subconscious to you or things that you don't know to make them more conscious. When things become more conscious, you can take action on them.
Yes.
You can make changes in your life. Sometimes we just repeat patterns that are subconscious to us because it feels comfortable for our psyche. And so to be able to change these patterns in your life, because another thing that might happen without you being conscious to it is that if you were parentified as a child, when you become a parent, you might be parentifying your child because you're like, well, this is how my parents parented me.
My parents made me do my laundry starting at 10 years old. So it's not a big deal that I'm asking him to do his laundry at 12.
Right. Or it might be like, okay, I'm asking you to do something smaller, but like you don't know what I had to deal with growing up, right? I think that happens a lot.
It's such a hazing thing.
It is a hazing thing.
Right? Like this idea of like, well, you don't know how bad I had it. And well, that's true.
We should coin a new term, parental hazing.
Yes. I mean, I think it's like a real thing, right? So this idea of like, you know, you don't understand how bad I had it. This is nothing compared to what I have to do. It doesn't actually, that is bullshit.
Right.
Right? That's still real pain someone's experiencing. That's still real loss someone's experiencing, even if it's not as bad as something you had.
And it's just, it just means that maybe your parent hasn't done the work, right? Like hasn't made the conscious effort to say, how, I'm sorry. There was a bug.
She just clapped a fly in the middle of this recording. Let that go.
I was going cross-eyed. I didn't know what to do. I thought.
Was that a control thing? Did that be wrapped into this somehow?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, we could turn that in. I was parentified into
killing bugs.
And now
this episode you have to watch on YouTube because you can watch Jen kill
go
a
cross-eyed
bug.
Go cross-eyed and kill
and
a bug.
Kill a bug. So now remember to check us out on YouTube. Okay.
No clue what I was talking about. Any idea? Nope.
No. Okay. But so that's it. So let's talk a little bit about what the hell we're supposed to do with this now.
Right. So as you become more conscious of it, how are you supposed to tackle this? Right. It's not just like you become conscious, then you're pissed off at your parents for the rest of time.
That doesn't really do anything. But I mean, it's nice to have a pity party.
Yeah. You can process it. Like be a little pissed. Let yourself feel it.
You can pity them party. Let's do that part.
And then recognize at what point you want to take action,
right?
Like let yourself feel it. Maybe there might be some grief that comes with that. Maybe you have to grieve the childhood that you wish that you had that you didn't have to be able to acknowledge this and say, okay, yeah, there was a lot put on me. Like I had to deal with a lot. There was a lot I had to process. And I wish that my childhood looked like this, but it didn't. And so maybe there's a little grieving that comes with that. Maybe there's a little anger or some sadness. So letting yourself process through some of those difficult emotions might be important before taking action. Then we got to take some action.
And then the action that could come after that grief is some of that inner child work of letting yourself be a kid.
Oof.
Let's say that my parents completely forgot my 7th birthday. Maybe I want to throw myself a 7th birthday party and I want to have balloons and bubbles and a craft station and a snow cone machine. You just want to have this party now.
I was just going to say, well, what would your, if you were to throw yourself
the best party ever,
the best like child party, what would it look like?
So it would involve water. That's very big for me, right? Oh. So it would like be like a pool
like
party.
A dunk tank?
Nope. That's scary. I don't want that. That's a lack of control. Somebody throws a ball and then
oh, yeah, not
swim.
Great. And no. Then everyone runs up and just pushes it.
Yes, I don't like that
rude.
Idea.
Yeah.
No, I would have probably like a pool party that we're running around and there is no body image, right? So for me, part of that parentification was also being highly aware of my body at a young age because of puberty and because of weight. And so that also takes you from not being a kid, right? Do I allow myself to just jump in the water and play in the sand or no, because I'm really busy hiding my stomach?
I see.
So I think for me, it would be like a totally body positive pool party. That would be my ideal
party. That is beautiful.
I mean, I can do that, right? So like that's the thing, as an adult, I can make that happen for myself, right?
Yo, I am ready for that party.
Yeah, I mean, we should do it.
I'll bring
that. That would actually be like the coolest meet and greet.
Why don't we do that?
COVID.
Right.
That's why.
Oh, yeah.
But so you can start to do some of that inner child work. You can start to say, what is the stuff I did not get as a child that I really, really wanted? How do I give that to myself now? How do I give myself that silliness, that safety, that security, those temper tantrums? Those,
right.
If I was in a house where I had to be very reserved with my emotions, maybe it's really important for me to have a lot of space to have temper tantrums and meltdowns.
Let yourself feel it. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a balance there, right? Because I think that it could also be something like if you swing so far the other way where you're like,
you have a correction.
Exactly. You're overcorrecting. And if you're like, I never got a childhood, so now I'm just going to act like a kid,
yeah,
or I'm just going to live this out in my adult life, to kind of manage that too, that mm-hmm. that it's not something that starts affecting your relationships, or like, for example, if you never got to play or do anything, if you're just like playing video games 24/7, right, without kind of putting boundaries up for yourself, right? So it's, well, and maybe we look at it as like, how do you allow yourself to be a child while also giving yourself the boundaries that would be healthy in a parent-child relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So reparenting yourself by saying, okay, I'm going to let myself be a kid, but I'm also going to give myself these healthy boundaries, because boundaries are safety for kids, right? They help kids feel safe. So how do you create that for yourself so that you can do these things, you can be fun, you can be silly, and you can also set these healthy boundaries for yourself?
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
So, and then the next thing you could really think about is we want you to think about starting to quit your job, whatever your family role is. So if you're the peacekeeper in your family, it's time to write the 2 weeks notice. If I am...
I'm like, you should write the 2 weeks notice out.
You should totally.
That's write. Like a great therapeutic technique.
Right. What were the skills I got from this job, and why have I outgrown it? It's time for me to resign here.
What would I like to improve upon? How does this job affect me now? How is it? How, because when you were growing up, there might have been a reason for that role, right? Like, once again, kids are very resilient. They learn specific ways of survival. And so maybe peacekeeping was your way of surviving. Like, maybe that was your way of feeling like you had to keep the family together.
Yeah.
Or feeling like you had to diffuse conflict. That might not be working for you anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that might be something now where you're muting all of your own feelings in order to take care of others.
Or maybe you were the family scapegoat and you got in trouble for everything and everything was always pinned on you. To say, that's a story other people wrote about me, that doesn't have to be my story. So we want you to think about, what is my role in my family and how do I want to start to resign from this? Now, the next thing that you can really start to do is, how do you start to learn to accept, support, and let go of control? this is something that's been huge for us in the past year.
Huge.
We are finally accepting
help and support. I'm really proud of us.
We've done a lot, and we still have a lot to go.
We said something the other day to each other. We were like, do we need to hire another person?
Yeah. And we're like, we do. Right? And like, and it was, well, you were very resistant.
Was I?
You didn't like it initially. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, yeah, we do. Like, you always take a few minutes.
Yeah, always.
You're a processor.
I always need to process things. It's hard for me to, like, the clock. Maybe after this, I'll be like, yeah, let's get a clock on the wall.
You're never going to let me buy a $100 clock.
Never.
But Jen, if I find discount codes, this is what I do with Jen. When I want something.
She's good.
And then I'm like, but how many discount codes
she's like,
I'm really good at finding codes.
Actually, my wife.
I'm great at couponing.
Really good at couponing.
Yes. Yep.
If
I want it, I'll find it.
No, but like, yeah, we have finally asked for help, which I think was really hard, but that's
very uncomfortable. But because actually getting the help isn't what's uncomfortable. It's the giving up the control and someone doing it differently than you. Even if it's just as wonderful, it feels so uncomfortable and disruptive.
Because once again, growing up, maybe it was not safe to ask for help,
yeah,
right? So your mind is saying to you, don't ask for help. It's not safe. You are the only one you can rely on. Mm-hmm. And so that might not be working for you anymore. And it's probably not true. There's probably so many people in your life that you can reach out to, can ask for help, who will be there for you. And you can create safety in those relationships. And you can also heal some of those wounds to be able to reach out and have your support system be there for you in your times of need.
And one of the things people often say is like, but it takes me just as long to teach someone else than for me to just do it myself. In which I would say, true, but how much longer will you last at this rate?
You're going to get burnout.
Right? So it's true. That's the thing. It's like when you're on this over-functioning autopilot, it does feel easier to go that way because the avoidance of doing something different. It's easier to stay and go really fast in the lane that I'm in than to switch a lane and possibly have to move around in a different way. But it doesn't mean it won't be so much better for your long-term quality of life, right? And that's also when we have to start to talk about how do you care less? And that doesn't mean you have to be careless in the relationships around you. It doesn't have to mean you're careless in your job.
Care hyphen less.
Yes.
Is there No. Sorry.
Hyphen.
I don't know.
I love when I semicolon. Okay. but this idea of like, okay, so here's like an example, right? I always take care of cleaning the floors. This is not true in my house, for the record. No, we have a Roomba. But I always take care of cleaning the floors because when my partner does it, they're so bad, it's just easier for me to do. Well, is it that bad? Is there a little bit of crumbs, right? Like, what is really the situation? And what can you choose to give up? And maybe it won't be as perfect. Perfect, quote,
or maybe
unquote.
Maybe it won't be the way that you want things done.
And maybe you have to adjust that as well. Maybe we have to learn to be okay with things a little bit more messy and a little bit more complicated and a little not so streamlined at the beginning.
In order to accept the growth that comes with that, right? Yeah. Because then you're allowing someone else to help you. You're allowing someone else to be there for you. And in the end, that is growth, to be able to let – and if it's your partner, to let your partner in and say, okay, how can I let some of this go so that I can let my partner be there for me?
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to holding on this control of I need things done in this very specific way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? That in and of itself can be a trauma response.
Yeah. So with all that, let's do Dear Jen and M.
I love it. I'm so excited.
So
for Dear
here's
Jen
our
M.
new segment, Dear Jen M. We're going to read a letter someone wrote into us.
And it's completely separate from the topic that we're talking about.
It could link back, but we're not going to find out. We haven't talked about this yet, for the record. We just got the letter. And so we're going to read it out and then we'll talk about it together.
Okay. Recently, and all of these.
Dear Jen M.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dear Jen M.
I apologize. Still working on this. All of these are kept anonymous, by the way. Dear Jen and M, Recently, my boyfriend and I have been spending all of our free time helping our families through various life events. Moves, death, birth, literally everything has happened 5 months in both of our families. This leaves us feeling exhausted, which is communicated very clearly to our friends when they ask us how we are. These friends in particular are married and live hours from their families. They also aren't that close to them and might visit them 3 times a year. Our families are within an hour of us, and we are just family-first people. These friends will ask us to hang out nonstop, which is sweet, but in this season of our lives, invites or asking to hang out actually causes me more anxiety. They're also the types who want to schedule all-day activities and are always extremely late. How do we handle this? I would love for our friends to know that they are loved, but we really do not have anything to give right now after expending all of our energy elsewhere.
I know you have an answer to this.
Well, first of all, I think that one of the things that comes up a lot, whether I'm talking to clients or whether I'm hearing some of these letters, is that the way in which that person just described this was very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right? And there was just such a level of vulnerability in it that I think is like, you can really connect with that.
Well, it's radical honesty, right? I have nothing left. Right? It's not that I don't love you. It's not, and I think it's easy for us to get stuck on the right, because, and you saw the person starts doing the letter. They started to say, like, you know, well, it's an all day event and they're always late. But that's not really it, because there's probably a time in your life that you didn't care about that.
Right.
What it's about is, I am so depleted. All of my energy is gone. And this is just where I am right now. That's all I have.
I think there's an assumption too, right? Like, okay, my friends know that I'm going through this. And so there's an assumption, if they know, then they should know that, like, we can't hang out, when that's not actually necessarily the case. Like, your friends might believe, oh, maybe they need a distraction from some of those things, right? Like, maybe we should invite
maybe
them
trying
over.
To give you some joy.
Right. Maybe we can give them some joy. But we all process things differently. And it sounds like for this person, you guys really need time for yourselves. You're too overwhelmed and you need some of that separateness from people. And I think being able to express that in the vulnerable way that you were able to express that in that letter is so essential when you're talking to friends. And I think we often, so often want to be the peacemaker or play nice or say, yeah, like, absolutely, like, let's hang out, like, let's find a time, right? Like, oh, yeah, like, let's, and we plan it far into the future. Emily and I do this all the time with work stuff. Yes. We plan it far into the future, so we're like, okay, maybe then, like, I'll be okay. But, like, usually you still have a lot of shit going on. You're still overwhelmed. And so to be able to say to your friends, hey, listen, I have so much going on in my life. I feel very overwhelmed. Like, I miss you so much. I just do not have the space right now to hang out with anyone. I just have too much on my plate.
And I think you would say, right, so they said something really important where, like, they want their friends to know they're loved and that they love them and they miss them, right?
And you can say that.
Right, to say those things of, like, I know you guys have been trying so hard. I love you. You mean so much to me.
And it means so much that you've been trying so hard. It, like, really means so much that you guys are reaching out. Really do want to see you at some point. This is just a lot right now.
Yeah.
I'm so overwhelmed. It has absolutely nothing to do with you.
Yeah. And when I'm ready, I will initiate that hangout. At the end of this, we're going to have a big party. But also, you do start to hit that stage of life where that the roles switch, where we're all of a sudden taking care of our parents more, maybe, or taking care, or our parents are taking care of their parents, and so we're taking care of them, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's this role switch that happens, that things get real and overly responsible, and it becomes hard to balance it all. And that transition of that launching phase, maybe out of my 20s into my 30s and 40s, can really shock us and can shock our friend group.
Yeah, because, and I think that the just transitions in general through time with friends can be jarring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And it can often feel like a rejection a lot of the time. Like, our friends can be like, okay, if this is changing, there might be some rejection here. They don't like me or they don't want to hang out with me. And I think that friendships change over time because our lives change over time, right? We're all going in different directions. I think the important part is that we stay connected through vulnerability.
Yeah. Well, it's, and it's interesting to ask yourself, how would you feel if they didn't invite you and you saw it all online, right?
Right.
I wonder if that would hurt as much. And maybe it wouldn't. Maybe you're fine with that. And that's something to know. But people are trying to include you, which is this beautiful thing. But I understand how overwhelming that can be to keep having to say no and to keep having, it feels like you have to keep asserting yourself, and then people are kind of maybe pushing your boundaries a little bit, which you might already be struggling with your own family.
Right. And I like what you said, though, that you say, I will, listen, I love you. I will reach out when we're ready to have these long hangouts. And if you want to stay connected in other ways, or if you feel like you have the space to stay connected in other ways, and truly ask yourself this, like, don't just do it out of guilt. Don't just do it out of fear.
Right. So maybe what it is, you know, those on those hour drives back and forth, you call your friends and check in, right? Maybe you can't make it there for an in-person hangout, but you can leave them a silly message. Or
you can
like
send
that.
Them memes.
Yeah.
It's my favorite way of communicating.
I mean, it really is the millennial way of communicating.
It's the best. It is the best.
I love when clients bring memes in. I think it's hilarious.
I me too. Like when they make references to it when they're talking about things, it's the greatest. I'm like, yes, I know exactly what meme you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Because the best one, though, is that figure that there's fire and it's like, everything is fine.
Right. Because we just feel that all the time.
Yeah, often that's what we're feeling.
That should be our new logo. No?
Then under it would have to say, don't take advice from us. Everything's on fire.
Fair. Fair. I like that. Maybe we could be like firemen putting it out.
Wow, that's actually kind of good.
I'm pretty creative.
Yeah. So on next week's episode of Shrink Chicks, putting out fires. I don't know.
And making memes. We don't know.
I can't remember.
We have no clue.
Nikki will tell us later. All right. That's it. Listen, parentification. It is not your responsibility to take care of everyone. It is not your responsibility to be the peacekeeper in your family. And you can accept help. You can let go of some of that control. It is a lifelong journey. We will attest to that. But work on that insight and awareness to create that action. And we can't wait to talk to you next week on Shrink Chicks.
Thanks for tuning in. If this was helpful for you and you think it might be helpful for someone else, send it on over, rate, review, and subscribe.
And check us out on YouTube.
Check us out on YouTube.